Orsman opened its first car dealership in 1921. Now, over 100 years and many dealerships later, Orsman of Virginia can proudly say that when it comes to your car buying needs, if you want it, we've got it. Saving, selection, and service? Check. Lifetime engine guarantees and car washes? Check. Loaner cars and free Virginia inspections? Check and check. See, over the past 100 years, we've learned that to succeed in business, we've got to keep our customers happy. And that's the Orsman story.
Orsman Fairfax Toyota. Let's ride together.
Orsman opened its first car dealership in 1921. Now, over 100 years and many dealerships later, Orsman of Virginia can proudly say that when it comes to your car buying needs, if you want it, we've got it. Saving, selection, and service? Check. Lifetime engine guarantees and car washes? Check. Loaner cars and free Virginia inspections? Check and check. See, over the past 100 years, we've learned that to succeed in business, we've got to keep our customers happy. And that's the Orsman story.
Orsman Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram. Let's ride together.
Hey guys, what's up? This is Josh Norman.
This is Alex Smith.
This is Joe Gibbs.
You listen to Redskins Talk
with JP Finley.
What up, everybody? Sunday morning and the Redskins aren't playing. Means you get to enjoy Red Zone all day and wait for Monday night where the Skins will take on the New Orleans Saints. It's going to be a wild atmosphere down in the Superdome. This is Redskins Talk Podcast. I am JP Finley. Orsman Automotive of Virginia is who you should ride with. That's who we ride with. All right, let's get down to business. I got the whole crew here. We're going to give you over-unders. We are going to give you how it unfolds, brought to you by Rich Chandler's Closet. And then we have a very, very good, insightful interview with Adrian Peterson. It might be my favorite interview I've ever done. I really enjoyed kind of getting to talk to him and getting to know him a little bit. So hopefully you guys enjoy that as well. Let's start. Chandler, do you want to start with how the game unfolds or over-unders?
Let's do how it unfolds.
Okay, we'll start, dude. Pete is here. Kime is here, just so everybody knows who's here.
Happy Sunday.
Hello.
Go, dude.
Kime's intros are so weak.
That was.
That's okay. Even worse than Chandler when he says, hi, Chandler.
Yeah.
You know, I see the game as I see another big first half for the Redskins. That's the way they've won. That's been the formula for them in their two wins. Get off to an early lead and just kind of, you know, second half, just preserve it. Rely on the defense. Don't try to do anything crazy on offense and hold on to the lead. I think they'll jump out to not a huge lead in the first half. Maybe, you know, like a 17-14, 17-13 at halftime, something like that. But to the point where they're going to have to keep the pedal on the metal in the second half. And that's what, you know, last year they actually scored 14 second half points. They got the Ryan Grant touchdown and Jeremy Sprinkle touchdown. So it's not like they went to sleep offensively. It's just that, you know, on defense, the Saints just got a torrent of Drew Brees and they couldn't handle that. But I think the defense will play better. Everybody is healthy. They didn't have a healthy Monte Nicholson last year, which mattered. So I think I think it'll be a very competitive game throughout. But the Redskins jumping on top early, and you know the way it goes, they may hang on and they may blow it again.
All right, that's how the game unfolds. Brought to you by Rich Taylor's Closet.
No, Lazy Boy.
Okay, Pete.
Yeah,
go ahead.
Lazy Boy is better. Okay. I felt pretty confident about the Redskins winning the Packers game. I feel very split down the middle here.
You were very confident about the Skins beating
the Packers? I predicted a victory in the first ever How the Game Unfolds presented by Lazy Boy segment that we did before the Packers game.
All right.
I know they're going to be zeroed in on Alvin Kamara, but I think he's just too good to hold down. I think the Saints have too many weapons on offense. And while I do think the Redskins defense is a lot better, this is a test two levels above what they've faced so far. So I think they're going to try and keep up with the Saints, but maybe at the end it'll be a 31-21, 31-24 defeat at the hands of New Orleans. A good, encouraging game. There'll be some bright spots, but I just think the Redskins will not have enough firepower to keep up, and the defense will not be able to hold down the Saints for four quarters. Kime, up to you.
What's the line on this, by the way?
Seven? Six and a half.
Six?
Six and a half. Okay. I have the Redskins covering.
I like the cover.
Yeah, so do I. I think they'll actually play pretty well. I think The question that I have is, can they run the ball on this team? Because if they don't run the ball well, they're going to be in trouble. And the Saints do like to blitz a lot. There are some gaps that they can hit. It's a pretty good front. So I think they're going to give them some problems there. I think you can attack the middle of the field with, again, the Crowders, Jordan Reed, I think Chris Thompson. You can do some things, I think, over the middle of the field. So I would watch how they attack them there. The things that I also worry about, too, is their defense. And the secondary has had enough breakdowns. I think the back seven's enough breakdowns, whether in the run game or in the pass game. And I think that's, to me, where they're going to have to short. You know, if they don't fix that, it's going to be – Breeze will get that record pretty quick. Yep. But I look at the Redskins. I think it's going to be a back-and-forth type of game, or at least they're always going to be within striking distance. I had them as a Saints 27-23 win.
I think it's a little more high scoring than that.
27-24,
I would take the Skins to cover. I like the points. I agree with Taylor. I think they'll get off to a good early start. And if they don't, I think it could go sideways quick because that building is going to be electric. To me, the key is touchdowns in the red zone. Cannot settle for field goals. Hopkins has been kind of spotty early on here. I don't think you want to rely on him. Maybe not.
He missed a 49-yarder.
I mean, okay, fair. But he hasn't had a lot of kicks. They got 28 in the first half against the Packers. I think if they can score like that, four touchdowns in the first half, this ain't rocket science. I think that gives them a really good chance to win. I think you got to get to 30, though, to win this game. And I think the final's going to be 33-30, 35-33, somewhere up there. I think it's going to be close. I think it's going to be a good game.
I think they can win. I mean, there's –
We talked about this on Friday's pod. You got to get production from Kerrigan and Smith, not just in the advanced stats models where it looks like, hey,
they need to make some plays.
Well, and think about like Norman narrowly missing that safety in the Colt. Like there's a lot of plays like that. You got to make those this week.
And last year it got lost in the terrible loss and Chris Thompson being hurt. But Gruden had that fake punt the play after Chris Thompson like shattered his leg.
Yeah,
something out of the blue like that from Jay or an onside kick or something could shake this game up too.
All right, it's going to be a fun one.
You know, the other thing that helps too from last year.
Of course, make a damn third and one too.
Right. Yeah, well, that, yeah. And then the other difference is I was watching this game last week again, or the game from last year, and at the defensive line, you have Stacy McGee, you have Matt Ioannidis with a big club on his hand, and you have Ziggy Hood, and they're significantly better along that front going into this game. But I would worry about those cutback lanes that get created that I think the back seven needs to do a better job with.
We talked about D-Hall.
Yeah.
I mean, he admitted that he shouldn't have been out there.
Like a couple weeks later,
that's what happened when Nicholson got hurt.
Yep.
Yeah.
I think you're going to see a ton. People were asking, you know, Daron Payne and John Allen, will those guys get that same amount of extended snaps, extended reps? Yes. The answer is yes. I believe you're going to see a lot of them out there. I think the nickel package will be out there a lot. And they're going to rely on those guys. And, frankly, you should.
The Saints do a good job, too, of trying to keep you in their base.
Right.
Too.
So that, well, and especially having Ingram back. We'll bring that. But I almost think that's okay for the Redskins because then Ioannidis is on the field more.
Right. And I also think every time Ingram touches the ball, Greg Minuski should send Sean Payton a thank you note because it means Kamara isn't touching the ball. I know Ingram's great.
Ingram's
I would much
good,
rather
dude.
Have him touching the ball than Alvin Kamara, though.
Ingram's pretty good.
We'll see how Ingram, you know, first game back. You know, of course, he was in training camp with him. But it's not like he's been missing, coming back from an injury or something,
right?
Like David Johnson was. But
right.
You know, you have to see how he gets his feet under him and everything.
All right, over unders, Pete. You have him?
Sure do, JP Finlay. First up, Alex Smith passing yards. We set the over under at 275. JP, I'll go to you first.
It's like right on the number. I'm going to go under. I think it's like 270.
I'm going to go over.
Ooh,
I think,
juicy.
I think that Saints secondary is ripe for the picking. And he might not get big, huge chunks, but I think he'll get it. I think he'll get it up there.
I'm going under. I'll go around in the 260s just because I think, again, if I feel like they're going to – be able to run the ball a little bit on them, even though the Saints D has been pretty good at stopping the run. And I think that if they're in the game, to me, it's because they're running the ball well enough. and that will limit how much they're going to need to throw. So I'm going to go under in the 260 range.
But if they're running the ball, I agree that, you know, that they need to do that. But that means they're keeping possession of the ball, which gives you more opportunity to pass as well.
It sure does, but I think it's – I'm not a 50-50 balance guy, but
right.
I do think that they don't want to throw that much. It's just not this style of offense.
Right.
So that's why.
Pete, what say you?
I'm going to say over, and it might be a similar game to the Colts where at the end he kind of backdoor covers trying to make a furious comeback.
Well, last year against the Packers, he had like 200 at halftime.
Early,
we thought it was the over-under was 275,
right.
Something like that.
Yeah.
We thought it was there.
And
but he
threw five passes and
put the ball in his pocket. All right,
before we get to Adrian Peterson, make sure you are following at Redskins Talk Pod. It is
very
funny.
Every follower gives me life. So
and we post all these pictures of Taylor wearing sunglasses. It's one of my favorite. Where you got to put the one up of him in the Devil's Backbone.
It's on the story. I'm just going to post a different one on our actual Instagram.
Okay.
I might get both of you since you're both stunting out here.
All right, before we go to our next over-under, I want to thank the good folks, Oarsman Automotive of Virginia. Go check out Oarsman Fairfax Toyota. They got everything, new cars, used cars, Oarsman Lifetime Edge.
Can I call them OAVA, Oarsman Automotive of Virginia?
Sure, dude.
Cool. All right. I love you, OAVA.
Peterson, what's the total?
Peterson, total, 88 rushing yards, a little bit above his season average. Tandler, I'll let you go.
Under.
I'm going over.
Well, I think he'll get in the 75-ish range, but no, I'm going to go under the 88.
I'm going over. Wait till you listen to this interview, and I think Adrian Peterson's going to run for 3,000 yards.
So,
I'm telling you, I got to know him on a different level, and the ferocity in that dude's eyes when I asked him about going back to play the Saints. Take the over.
Well, you won't be able to see that on the podcast, but hopefully you can hear
Well,
that.
You can see it on our pregame show
please
Monday
watch
night.
The pregame show.
I assume that's at 7
yeah.
o'clock?
Keeps us employed.
Yeah, please watch the pregame show. It's very important. It keeps us employed.
I'm
even
gonna
Pete.
Say over because he wished me a happy birthday on Wednesday, and he probably got some good vibes from that.
Who set that up?
Someone at the Redskins, apparently. I'm still trying to figure it out. Here you go, Kaim.
Okay, well, I was going to go under at about 87, but I think he might get another 3-yard gain, and I think he's going to hit 90. So there you go.
At three overs and an under?
Yep.
Yeah, I'm toggling between mid-80s. I think that's a pretty good run defense. So I'm not looking – you know, I'm going to switch. I'm going to go just under 88.
Because, jeez, wishy-washy here.
Well, yes, I am. But but also because I think they have a pretty good run defense. But I do think it's going to be like one of those 23 carries, 87-yard type games for him.
Yeah. I'm not saying it's going to be 4.75 YPC, but I think he gets over 88. All right. Our wild card came in from Neil Perry.
Came in from across the pond.
Yeah.
As they say.
So the wild card, this one's interesting. So everybody knows Drew Brees needs 201 passing yards to break Peyton Manning's all-time passing yardage record in the NFL, which is a really wild accomplishment when you think about it. 201 what's the best way to phrase this? Does he break that record before the fourth quarter? Or it happens in the fourth quarter or it doesn't happen?
Okay, here's a thought, though. Suppose he goes over it, gets like
and then has like a negative play.
And then has a negative play in the fourth quarter.
We'll address that if
it
happens.
Breaks it again in the fourth
just
quarter.
We'll just say,
to clarify it,
of course.
We'll just say if it gets broken at any point before the fourth quarter, even if he loses it.
This is the most L.L. Bean clarification in history.
Do you want to do inactives again? Did you change any of your projections?
Doxson, Laval.
I actually had a funny story, though, about what he just said, because and I told this in the press room the other day, there was a Bengals running back in the 70s who hit 1,000 yards for the first time, and they stopped the game. They gave him this big ovation. Last play of the game's next. He loses yards, game over, season over, under 1,000.
Dagger.
Yeah. So
sounds like Pete's bye week.
That kind of stuff happens. So I'm just clarifying it.
Thank goodness you did.
But, you know, the story is from like 30-some years
right.
ago, too. So.
It also kind of
right
sounded like
wheelhouse.
Pete telling the story of his bye week. All right, Taylor, now that you've clarified –
thank
what's
you.
Your answer?
My answer is, well, I guess it's an over. I will say fourth quarter. In fact, I'll go bold prediction. He won't break it.
Whoa, that is bold.
Meow, 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 meow.
I think you're wrong, and I'll go under. I think he gets it in the third quarter.
I think he gets it in the fourth quarter.
I had no idea what planet he was on.
Yeah, I wasn't sure. I didn't know I was up.
Okay, so that's an over.
I think it's over in the fourth. Yeah, he gets it in the fourth quarter.
So I'm going under?
And
yeah, you're going under.
Right.
I think if he, the funny thing is, if he doesn't break it, it's probably not a good sign for the Redskins, because right. It could be like the games where he's been under 200 yards lately, they're blowout wins.
Well, even last week for the Saints against the Giants, he only had 217 pass yards, but they piled up 170 on the ground.
Correct.
You and know, like
there were two games last year where he was in the 180s. One was against Buffalo, I think, where they won by like 30-something. There was like a 52-38 and 47-10 wins. So I think they actually probably would want him to be over, because it probably means that he's either in the fourth quarter having to come from behind. Just a guess.
Pete?
Fourth quarter.
So you're going over.
Yeah.
So Taylor and I are on opposite ends on all of these, which means there will definitely be a winner. No tie.
Unless there's some weird clarification.
Year to date, I am up 1-0. Because we've had two ties, and then right. I stomped you in the Packers
But I'm still two-thirds of the way towards a Starbucks.
Well, you also haven't bought me my cheer wine.
Okay, you know what? You got to do those during that week.
No, bullshit.
Yes, you do.
No, absolutely not.
Yes.
Because the other day I asked for one, you were like in the middle of something.
Said, yeah, in the middle. I was working. Right. I know that's.
But then when you went to get it, I chugged like a bottle of water. I was like, no, I don't need it. No, that is erroneous. That is Taylor trying to skate off on something.
60 cents.
No way. Pete?
I mean, I will not stand for this as podcast
producer. Mitch can offer a ruling when we finally see him again in New Orleans.
So you're just saying that Cheerwine's just gone? You're just saying the Cheerwine's gone and he doesn't get it?
No, I'm saying that as a future thing since we hadn't established this.
No.
This is fair warning.
No.
You
don't get to just, like – mandate rules.
This podcast will not
yes,
stand
I do.
For this.
No, you don't.
Yes, I do.
No, you don't. All right, whatever.
Struck down.
This is silly. We have a good interview to get to rather than our silly bickering over Taylor unilaterally
yes,
trying to make
can.
A Cheerwine
no,
rule, which is not standing. All right.
Standing.
Here comes Adrian Peterson. Listen to this. It's important. Thank you for listening. Thanks to the good folks at Oarsman Automotive of Virginia. We will talk to you Monday night after who knows what's going to happen. Adrian, thank you for sitting down with us. I've wanted to ask you this for a while. It's been such a whirlwind since you got here, workout, signed right away, leading rusher right away. Have you even had a minute to kind of think about, hey, I'm with the Redskins now, and just the crazy turns of this offseason for you?
This past week, I had a little time to think about it, you know, enjoying the bye week back home in Houston. And you're right. You know, everything kind of came at me fast, and I was signed. I was playing that week, and things just kind of just roll, continue to roll after that. But I had some time to think about it and just relax my mind and kind of get away from everything and just like gather my thoughts and come back refreshed. So, you know, I'm in a state of being refreshed and just enjoying this opportunity.
So you gathered your thoughts. If you can, take us inside some of those thoughts. Like, what do you think of the organization, the fans, the team, the guys you're playing with? I know how highly you think of the offensive line. It seems I know you and Trent Williams are very good friends. Morgan Moses has talked like you guys know each other really well. What do you think of this team? Let's start there.
Well, I love the organization. You know, Snyder. You know, I love when you see owners out there.
Do you?
You know, at practice and involved. You know, with the teams, and it's not like that everywhere. So that was one thing that stood out to me the most. You know, the coaching staff is great. I think Coach Joy will do a great job with the running backs, Coach Gruden, just a collective good group of coaches, you know. So as I continue to grow and know their personalities more, you know, I'll be able to, you know, say a little more. But as of now, things have been enjoyable. You know, they've made it fun. You know, when we're out in practice, you know, guys are out there having a good time, having fun, but also competing and taking care of the X's and O's. You know, so I'm just taking it all in and enjoying it week by week.
And you're coming to this team at an interesting time in a lot of ways. You know, Kirk Cousins was the story here for so long, and now he's in Minnesota, oddly enough for you, and Alex is in charge, and there's almost this star player void that in some ways you're filling. Was that part of you? Do you think that's where you belong? That's who you are? Or in some ways you're like, oh, this is cool. Like, I'm happy to be this guy.
Mm-hmm. You know, it's what I'm used to,
right.
You know, so for me, it's not anything out the norm, you know. So I feel like when I'm on the field and you know I'm doing what God has blessed me to do, you know, it'll shine through in any situation.
So I get asked on the radio all the time, can Adrian Peterson keep this up? I say you can. I look at you physically. There's no reason to think you can't. But I want to put the question to you. Can you keep this up? I mean, I think you're, you know, tops in the league in rushing. You're all these categories. You're killing it so far, but we're only three games in.
You know, my question to people that think that would be like, what would you think would stop me from keeping it up? You know, of course, like, if you tear ACL, you can't do anything about that. You know, if you break a leg, you know, you can't do anything about that. You break a collarbone, you can't do anything about that. So
kind
it's like
flukish injury.
Yeah. So it's like, what else will stop a player who has, and let me not say myself, you know, it's, you know, stop a player like Drew Brees from, you know, from going out and being productive and doing what he has done for over a long period of time, but focusing on this season, what he's done the past 4 weeks, you know. Only thing I can think of is a defensive scheme, you know, and guys,
found one for you yet.
And guys, you know, interrupting what we know what he does best.
Do you resent getting that question a little bit?
In a way, because, you know, the question I pose to you is like, what's going to go away? You know, like the talent that I have is here. The explosion is not going to, you know, go down in week, you know, 4, week 5, or week 6, you know. So that's why I asked that question. Like, I want to ask them, like, so what would you consider, you know?
Right. I think some people would say, you know, you've had a lot of carries, and does that catch up to you? And I, when I'm asked, say, you don't see this guy, the physical, the work you put in. And I mean, your work ethic's pretty legendary. Is that what makes you confident? Hey, the burst is going to be there week 5, week 10, and week 15.
Yeah. You know, and I'm normally the guy that's on the delivery end, you know, of those hits, majority of them. But my body it's been holding up for a long time. You know, outside of things I can't control as far as major injuries, you know, outside of that, my body has done well. You know, I don't think I've ever missed a game in my 12-year career for a hamstring injury or a muscle injury, or, you know, an ankle sprain or anything like that. I never missed a game because of what I would call injury-prone type injuries, you know?
And not to mention, your recovery from an ACL set a new record for recovering from an ACL. the last full season you had, you went for about 1,500 yards. What are your goals for this season? I mean, that's 2015. It's 2018 now. You know, clearly you're running the ball well. You're in tune with this offensive line. What do you want to accomplish this year?
You know, just making sure that we establish and have a definite run game, you know, so when teams evaluate us, they're like, hey, you know, we have to stop the run. You know, and just being a big and major contributor to helping this team win a championship. And I know that goes 1 week at a time, but that's like my ultimate goal. Some of my personal goals, of course, is leading the league in rushing, just to get my belt back, and, you know, just have a overall, you know, an incredible season, not only just rushing the ball, but, you know, as a receiver as well.
You talked about, you know, to get to those big goals, it's all week to week. Well, this week, that's New Orleans. That's going back to the Superdome where your 2017 season started. And I don't know any of the specifics, but it didn't seem like things went well for you there. Are you at all excited to get back down there?
Yeah, I'm excited to get back down there. I think it's mostly to get my hands on some food.
What are you going for?
I'm going to go for some beignets for sure.
Cafe Du Monde? Or
yeah, Cafe Du Monde.
I'll see you there Monday morning.
Yeah, I'll be there Sunday.
Oh, good.
I'll be there Sunday, and I'll be stuffing my face. I'm going to eat my dessert before I eat any meals.
Well done.
But it's going to be good to get back down there. I'll be lying to you to sit here and say that I don't have an extra edge on me to go down there and play. But there's no hard feelings or no grudges. You know, Alvin Kamara and Mark Ingram, those are my brothers. You know, Zach Lyon, we were together in Minnesota. So it'll be good to play against those guys and have the opportunity to see those guys again while I'm there, while we're there taking care of business.
Game plan-wise for Monday night's game, that crowd, that Saints offense, Drew Brees on the precipice of a record, do you need to get going early to set up the way the Washington offense wants to run?
I feel like we do. I feel like we have to establish the run game. And, you know, it has worked for us, you know, in the previous 2 weeks. But, yeah, establish the run game. And I think as an offense, from what I've seen, we build off of that. You know, we get our play action. We're able to take some shots downfield. I think the defense feed off of that as well. And it really gets those guys up front rolling. So, and then your best defense for Drew Brees will be 6-7 minute, you know,
right,
possessions.
Yeah.
You know, keep him on the sideline, limiting his opportunities on the field.
It's kind of crazy. The first time you met Alex Smith was at the Heisman Trophy presentation way back when in New York City. What's it like playing with him now?
It's been enjoyable. You know, he's a great leader. You know, I love his energy and his passion that he shows, you know, for the game. You know, I'm getting to know more, you know, about him as I just sit back and watch, you know, just how he kind of carry himself. But when we step on that field, you know, he made some plays that I look back and I'm just like, okay, you don't see quarterbacks just kind of giving their all like that. You know, he dove for a first down against Green Bay, like 2 or 3 yards, just threw his body out there, you know. And when you have we have players like that in general, but especially at the quarterback position, man, you can accomplish anything as a team.
That is not a business decision.
You know?
you've talked about this O-line and how excited you are to run behind them. You're getting them all scooters?
Yeah.
What is that about?
Yeah. I wanted to hook them up and show them some love because obviously I couldn't accomplish getting into the top 10.
Right, you're breaking all sorts of records, touchdowns as well.
Yeah, the 100-yard touchdown club. So I just wanted to show them, give them a little token of my appreciation, and hopefully, I don't think there was a weight limit because some of these guys are big, you know.
Ty but, and Secchi on the scooter is going to be pretty wild.
I know, but I think they will enjoy it.
Well, Trent Williams is a well-established car guy. You sure he's going to want to ride around in a scooter?
Yeah, he better.
I also wanted to ask you, your handshake is legendary. And I don't know if you've got to meet him or what. Dexter Manley played here in the 80s, pass rusher, legendary player here. Okay. And he, for a long time, was known as the hardest handshake in town. I think you've surpassed it. Your handshake, just when you walked in here, had me grinning a little bit.
Yeah.
Where did that come from?
You know, my dad and my uncles always told me, hey, when you meet a man, you know, you give him a firm handshake, look him in the eyes, you know, so they can know that you're serious and take you serious, you know. So that's something I've been doing for a long time.
I can only imagine what it's like trying to tackle you based on your handshake. Like I don't want any part of the rest of it. One other thing, you threw a football into the crowd after the Packers game. The guy that caught it is a guy named the Rally Captain. He travels to every game. He made a video, put it on Facebook. He's a big deal fan here. Is that cool for you, starting to connect with fans like this in a new city, new team?
Yeah, it is. You know, I also play for the fans as well. You know, they're the ones that keep us going. You know, it would be fun because I love football, but it would be different if we didn't have any fans out there in the stands.
Yeah.
You know, so I'll always like giving back to the fans and let them know that, hey, I'm appreciative. And, you know, I appreciate the love and the belief you have in me. You know, so, you know, I always try to give some, you know, show my support and give when I can.
If you see the Rally Captain, you got to say hi. He wears this big chain, Redskins chain. It looks like a Flavor Flav clock.
Okay.
But it's a Redskins logo.
All right, so pinpoint that, Flavor Flav.
Yeah,
okay.
I'll point him out to you. He'll be in New Orleans, I'm sure.
Okay.
This is it for me. Your career has had incredible highs. 2,000-yard seasons. I mean, you're a Hall of Famer. Like, I don't talk to a lot of Hall of Famers, right? you've had some lows. You've had some things you've had to overcome, some situations, injuries, all sorts of stuff. All of that journey, and I know you're a man of faith, all of that journey has led you here now to the Washington Redskins. What does it mean for you to get this new chance, new opportunity to go out on the field in the burgundy and gold?
You know, for me, I feel like it's a message to the people that follows me, you know, that follow me and support me, that, you know, just have perseverance and, you know, and everything that might come, you know, in your direction, across your path, you know, just have faith. And that's why I wear this on my neck. It's a key. It says faith. Because the key to anything is believing, you know, believing in yourself. But, you know, I feel like I'm here for that reason, you know, to not just to be satisfying to me, but to show the millions of people that support me. And, you know, I've heard so many stories of, you know, how I've changed people's lives and just my mindset and how I overcome different things. So for me, it's mostly for everyone that, you know, that hasn't been blessed yet to have the opportunity that I've had to believe that they can continue to go after whatever it is they desire in life. You know, it doesn't matter if you hit a pothole, climb out of that pothole and keep pressing forward, and you can accomplish anything you put your mind to. Put God first.
Did doubt ever creep in for you coming back?
Coming back?
Yeah.
In what way?
Like, nobody's calling me. Why can't I get a tryout? Mm-hmm. Why aren't I on a roster?
Of course, I'm human, you know. But I always, you know, cancel those negative thoughts out and started back thinking positive. I never let anything negative like that come out of my mouth. Like, okay, well, I guess I won't get signed this year. You know, I didn't voice anything like that. I didn't want to get popular to it. It was always positive things coming out of my mouth. You know, the life and death is within the tongue, you know. So I was speaking life.
Oarsman opened its first car dealership in 1921. Now, over 100 years and many dealerships later, Oarsman of Virginia can proudly say that when it comes to your car buying needs, if you want it, we've got it. Saving, selection, and service? Check. Lifetime engine guarantees and car washes? Check. Loaner cars and free Virginia inspections? Check and check. See, over the past 100 years, we've learned that to succeed in business, we've got to keep our customers happy. And that's the Oarsman story.
Oarsman Chantilly Toyota. Let's ride together.
Oarsman opened its first car dealership in 1921. Now, over 100 years and many dealerships later, Oarsman of Virginia can proudly say that when it comes to your car buying needs, if you want it, we've got it. Saving, selection, and service? Check. Lifetime engine guarantees? Check. Loaner cars and free car washes? Check and check. See, over the past 100 years, we've learned that to succeed in business, we've got to keep our customers happy. And that's the Oarsman story.
Oarsman Kia of Alexandria. Let's ride together.